Hello, my name is Aaron, and this is the 40 First Timer Podcast. This is the new and improved version. This podcast is about being 40 and having a little more time for yourself to try new things. Come with me on my adventures as I try new things or do things that I used to do for the first time again. I hope to make you laugh and I hope to inspire you. For information on this podcast and more, visit 40firsttimer.com, all spelled out, FortyFirstTimer.com. Now let's go on an adventure. Hello, everyone. It's been a minute since I've recorded a new episode of 40 First Timer. It is a revamp. It's my baby podcast, I call it. It's my first podcast. I didn't really know what I was doing or have a great education in podcasting when I started. And now I have a better understanding through experience and a few courses. And anyway, so I revamped my podcast to be different, and I made a different podcast called The Mommy Mentor, which is more geared towards helping moms in any way possible. You name it, I'm helping you. Postpartum, newborn, that's my specialty because I'm a postpartum nurse. But I also am a parent for 17 years, so I could help you with basically anything. And I'm also going to relate to you in so many ways that are in any range of parenting. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about 40 First Timer. So I developed that idea because I was turning 40 and I was like, you know, I have a lot more time on my hands for hobbies. So why not podcast? And so I started a podcast and I thought, it could be about the fact that I'm turning 40 and I have a lot more time on my hands. And so I'm doing things for the first time again, like that I used to do, but now I'm doing them again, or that I have never done before. And basically, you run out of things to talk about. I'm a busy lady. Not that many things that I do are new. So I wasn't able to sustain a monthly podcast, I didn't feel like. And I knew it wasn't reaching people, and I knew it wasn't reaching my overall goal of helping moms. But then after I started the Mommy Mentor, I realized, well, the 40 First Timer podcast can help moms too, because I'm 40, I'm a mom. Like, this stage is different in life. And so I can talk to you about this stage of life, just not even parenting, or I mean, yes, of course, parenting relates to it because that's like the biggest thing I do in my life. But how the heck is this working? I'm turning 40. Like, I am 40. My kids are older. It's such a weird time because I don't have anything to do sometimes, but then I have a lot to do sometimes. And so it's just weird. And so I thought, why not keep making this podcast? And when I do have first time moments, then I'll make an episode. So I can't promise that this is going to be a regular release podcast like the Mommy Mentor is monthly. But I thought, when I do have new experiences, why not share them with you guys? Because there are some super special first experiences, including the one I'm going to talk about today. And I think it's worthwhile to share those things. And obviously, like, if there's a first time I experience anything, including an emotion or my kids leaving the house, that will be a while because my kids plan to live at home during college, which is for me awesome. Anyway, today I'm going to talk about the first time I went to my first stadium concert. That was only the second concert I've been in my life. And the first concert was Dave Matthews, and it was an outdoor amphitheater in Wisconsin. It was fine. But they're only playing their new music, not playing their classics. You know what I mean? If you want to say that. It's so nice, what I feel like, when people or bands play songs that the audience just loves, like their big hits and their new stuff. I think that's awesome. Like, doing a mix of that is so helpful for me because I don't have a lot of time to discover new music. So hearing the old stuff, quote unquote, is great for me. So like, we went to Ludacris for my anniversary in August because that he was randomly performing at a casino near our house. So we went there and I figured this man's not going to perform the songs that are not just his songs, right? And by the way, this is not the concert I'm talking about, but he did. He performed like all of the songs, even that the ones that he was just like featured in. And I was like, that's awesome. Especially the song "Oh" with Sierra, because I about died. Fun fact, I memorized that and worked really hard on it back in the day. But back to the subject at hand, my first stadium concert, only the second concert I've ever been in my life. And so I'm going to start out. The story was, on New Year's Eve, my family, kids, and my husband and I, we make vision boards. And that's kind of a new tradition in the last few years because the pandemic happened and we weren't able to do normal like New Year's stuff if we wanted to and that kind of thing. So we ended up making new traditions and I stole the tradition from Amanda Klutz because she also makes vision boards on New Year's Eve. So we make vision boards on dry erase boards and mine had on it several things, but one of the things that I had on it was going to a Coldplay concert. They are my all-time favorite band. I can't even believe how many songs of them theirs mean so much to me for so many different reasons. It was like, I want to go there. Just, and I randomly wrote it on there. You know, sometimes you kind of like run out of things to write on there. Kind of like when you're a grown up and you run out of things to write on your Christmas list because you're like, I don't really know what I want. But that one came to mind right away and I was like, boom, done. Put it on the list. And that was obviously December 31st of 2022. And then by February 1st, I had seen a video on Instagram randomly because I didn't follow Coldplay yet. Yes, bad fan, I know. But I didn't follow Coldplay yet. So I started following after I put that on my vision board. I was like, I gotta follow them. So I started following them. And then just because I think I followed them, the algorithm threw this reel my way. And it was a reel of Chris Martin talking about, and it was June 26th, 1998. And he was talking about how he's going to be huge. Him and his band Coldplay are going to be huge in this many years' time. They're going to be huge. It's absolutely adorable because he looks like such a he's like a teenager. He looks like my kids, honestly, like he looks that old. And I think he even has braces. And it's amazing because you see him just excitedly talking about, oh, we're going to be huge in 4 years, just watch. And he's excited and he runs away from the camera. And the next video you see is them 4 years and like, I think 3 days later playing the Glastonbury, I want to say festival, I don't know. And that's obviously huge. I'm going to play it. It's 30 seconds. I think you can catch enough from the audio.
4 years. It's now the 26th of June, 1998. By the 26th of June, 2002, the Coldplay, or the band, whatever they're called then, will be known just all over, man.
We're going to... So oh. Those are
so spinal sad. Guy, Will, John and Chris. Don't you forget.
Massive. Absolutely huge.
That video gave me goosebumps. When I saw that, I was like, yep, this is a slam dunk. Somehow this is going to happen. I know what I put on my vision board. This is going to happen. And not only is this going to happen, but I can do freaking anything. This man was like, I don't know how old he's my age now. So I think, you know, like a teenager, a literal teenager, like late teens, said, I'm going to be huge. Me and my band are going to be huge. Boom. We're doing it. They did it. They're huge, huge. 4 years later, huge. He predicted the future. He manifested it. And I'm like, pfft. If he can manifest becoming one of the largest, most famous rock bands, I mean, come on. I can do anything, you know? Because like, I don't have that big of an order. I'm not like, that's not something I want to do. I don't want to do something that crazy huge. That is an amazing thing that they did. And I was like, if Chris Martin and Coldplay can do that, I can do anything. So I was just like pumped, right? And every time I see that video, I get so pumped. But then I followed Coldplay, right? And so February 1st, it was January 31st that I saw that reel. February 1st, I saw their concert tour dates. They had one date in Los Angeles, two dates in Los Angeles, and one of them, I think, was a makeup show that they had to redo because they had to cancel a show in LA once. And so, also, fun fact, LA is like my favorite place ever, okay? Like, if I could afford to live there, I sure as heck would. People have their opinions. Somebody called it the armpit of America to me once, and I was like, that's rude. But, so I was like, cool. this is amazing. All things are tracking here, right? Like, I am going to this concert. So that's February 1st. And I see their concert schedule. It's in LA. And I'm like, boom, this is going to happen. I know it is. The next day, I found out how much, because I had been in contract negotiations with the union. And so we didn't get our raises right. We didn't start getting paid our raises that we were supposed to get paid. So once the contract was finally negotiated, they had to give us our raise retroactively. I didn't know when this was going to happen and be paid out. Like, it takes forever to figure that stuff out, right? Okay, well, here we go. February 2nd is when I find out how much my retroactive pay will be from the raise that I was supposed to get the previous June. So it's going to be a good chunk of change, right? And I'm like, okay, this is freaking nuts. I find out on February 2nd what money I'm going to get. Like, extra money, basically, because we've been living on what I had been getting paid. Do you know what I did with that extra money, people? Do you know what I did? I bought me some Coldplay tickets. That's what I did. Not only did I buy me some friggin' Coldplay tickets, I bought me some good Coldplay tickets. Okay. They were in row 14. And I mean, I am old. I do not want to stand on the floor, people. I am not sitting here trying to get in a trampling contest with 20 somethings. Like, I don't have time for that. And so I did not want to be on the floor, but I was 14 rows back, which was still great. I could see him very clearly. Him, when I say him, Chris Martin clearly is running up and down the stage all the time. So fast forward, it was terrible to wait, but I was so jazzed the whole time. Like, when you have something to look forward to that is that important to you, I was so excited about it. I was so excited. And so that was February, and the show wasn't in until October 1st. And it was in the Rose Bowl Stadium. And so I am just jazzed. I'm I'm going to see Coldplay. I am going to see it in a stadium. And I had heard that they put on amazing shows. And then when I started following them, I saw that they put on amazing shows. It's blanking crazy. I don't even care if you don't like Coldplay. You would love their concert. And people say that about Taylor Swift and Pink and stuff like that. They put on a good show that you don't even care if what the music is happening. You don't care about what's playing. You're just whoa, entertained by pyrotechnics and all the crazy stuff they're doing. But yeah, it was such a great show. And I just have to say, that put hope in the universe for me about manifesting. Because up until then, I was manifesting, what is that? But then I kind of also realized, Aaron, you're Christian, and manifesting is kind of like prayer. So fast forward to October 1st, and we get to go to LA. My husband and I went. He is going to be my concert buddy. And I told him, I was like, you have a very important job. You have to document this experience in my life like I'm your child. Video, pictures, act like I'm taking my first steps or something. And he was like, okay. But he knew exactly how important it was to me. And he did nail the recording and photographing and things like that. But so we get this Airbnb in LA, and I love it. It's in the Hollywood Hills because that's where I love to stay. And it's right next to one of the secret staircases in LA. And I don't know if you've heard of that, but that's a fun thing to do. So comes the day of the concert. I am so okay, we got to be early, because we have to drive to the Rose Bowl Stadium, which isn't technically in LA. It's actually in Pasadena. And so you have to drive there, and you know that you're not parking right in the Rose Bowl parking lot. That's not happening. I mean, theoretically you could, but my husband had a very good point. He said traffic is going to be a crap show getting out of here. So I would rather not park right in the parking lot and then have to sit in this traffic. We might as well do the parking lot that they're recommending parking in and then do the shuttle, because, you know, the shuttles are going to have certain routes that cars can't go. And I was like, okay, whatever, sure. So Well, we got to make extra time for it. Like, I am not risking being late at all. I am late to a lot of stuff. I don't know. It's just things. This is my life. My dad called it Kennedy time. I'm starting to wonder if there's just, I've been tested for ADHD and I apparently don't have it, but I sometimes wonder. So I kind of sometimes wonder about my dad in that way. But the deal is this, hi, I've been tested for ADHD. Do you hear me? This is ridiculous. I'm like bouncing all over the place. So comes to the day of the concert, I'm like, all right, well, if we have to park in this parking lot, we have to get there earlier because then we got to make time to get on the shuttle. And they're, you know, like we can't control when the shuttle leaves the parking lot, blah, blah, blah. And so we also were like, we got to eat before this. Obviously they're going to have stadium food, but we should probably eat like some decent food. So we ate before we went and parked, and we parked. Guys, the concert didn't start until like, I think 7, and we parked the car at 12 something in the afternoon. Yeah. I was like, we're not messing this up. This is too important. And then we, like, I think that the stadium doors didn't even open until 4 or 5. And I'm like, what the frick are we going to do this whole time? So anyway, we figured it out. And turns out there were so many people there already that you're like standing in line to get in the doors when the doors finally open. And it's basically like a tailgating situation. So there's people with drinks and food and whatever. So it turned out to be fine. I went and bought myself a Coldplay sweatshirt. Didn't take that off the rest of the weekend. And chatted in line with people. And fast forward, we get in the stadium. We're sitting there. And it's still light out. And like, I know that they're not going to go on until it's dark. Because I already know that their shows have a lot of like pyrotechnics and stuff like that. And it's just not going to obviously be as cool if it's not dark out. So there's a bunch of performers that are opening, but they're not opening like Hurt was opening. And so they were okay. And I mean, I'm not mad at them. Everybody starts somewhere. And then Hurt came on, which was effing amazing. I have not really listened to a lot of her music. I know how incredibly talented she is, but I have listened to a lot of her music. It's just not exactly my jam, but I like her more now because like her performance was amazing. Like it reminded me of Prince, how crazy talented she is, like so many instruments and like running up and down the stage and singing, and lady is a superhuman. And she's also freaking gorgeous. And shout out to her because she comes out on the stage wearing like a sweatsuit and tennis shoes and looking like $1 million. And I'm like, oh my God, that is amazing. Not only is she a girl after my own heart, like, psht, I am performing in sweats, thank you. But she also looks like $1 million in them. So, I mean, good for her. I would look schleppy AF if I tried to perform looking like that. And I say looking like that because if I put on a sweatsuit, you'd be like, you going to the gym? So then it finally comes time for Coldplay to come on, and it's dark and... Also, most amazing part of this freaking whole thing, they give everybody at the concert these bracelets that light up and they control them somehow. I don't know how. Don't ask me, technology, not my jam. That's kind of why this podcast like random, because I am not good at technology, you guys. I'm better now because I took that course. So they have these bracelets and they light up and they control them and what color they light up and what section, like how, what section you're sitting in, the lights can light up different colors to make like patterns. There was at one point like hearts in the audience. I was like, with the bracelets, right? I'm like, this is great. And it's like audience participation. Perfect. So the lights turn off and your bracelets turn on and they start singing. And I am just all in my feelings immediately. And I don't remember the exact order of the songs. I wanted to be in the experience. I took a few videos and a few photos, but I wanted to be in this experience. And I was just so immediately emotional. And then they started playing Paradise. And that's my favorite song for now. I have so many favorite songs of theirs. Like that song is my favorite song for like the last 5 to 6 to now years of my life. When she was just a girl, she expected the world. I did, and I still do. And he says, I know the sun was set to rise. That's what that means to me, is that I will always rise. And what I expected as a little girl is possible. So they're playing this. I say he because I know it's a whole band. I am not discounting the whole band. It's an equal effort. But Chris Martin is the singer, so he's the front man, and he's running up and down the stage, and focus is on him because how can you not? He's singing. He's like running up and down the stage. He's such a good performer. And he's singing this, and I look at my husband who's videoing me, and I say, this is real life. And I'm like crying. And pardon me, might get a little emotional now. This was real life. From the beginning of the year, I just randomly wrote on a whiteboard that I'm going to a Coldplay concert. And I don't have a ton of extra money, you guys. I have kids. I got a mortgage. I'm a real grown-up. But I was able to come into some extra money to get this together and to go. And it was in my favorite city and my first stadium show. And it was just so amazing. So I looked at my husband and I was like, this is real life. I had to tell myself, this is real. That you're experiencing this right now. They are such an amazing band. And also, they're so funny. I didn't, you know, because performers always talk between songs. And that's my favorite part of this whole thing, too. I have so many favorite parts. I got to know them as humans a little bit because I only know their songs. Like, I don't watch a ton of interviews, or I don't know if they do a ton of interviews, but I got to know them as humans a little bit. There's this one part where they always bring someone on stage at their concerts, each one in every city, and play them a song that means a lot to them. And it was, I think, some sisters at this concert, and they had only one extra stool out there, and they needed two extra stools. And so Chris Martin says to one of the bandmates, can you get me another stool? Brings him another stool. It's tiny. It's short. And Chris Martin looks at him and he goes, what is this? It's tiny. We're the most popular rock band in the world. Why don't we have a better stool? And I'm just dying because he's joking. And I'm, okay, this is fun. You're a human being. So it's new stool goes on. It's all fine. And then top experience of the concert. Like the whole thing was just, oh God, so amazing. Every single song. They played so many songs I knew. So many songs. Clocks, Paradise, Yellow, Viva La Vida, Fix You. Just so many songs I know. And there was this one that they performed. It was like the best part of the concert. And Chris Martin's funny. Like I said, he's funny. And he said, okay, I know you're all videoing and taking pictures and that's awesome. But for this song, I need you to put your phones in your pockets and your hands in the air. So he starts singing a little song. He's like, put your phone in your pocket and the hands in the air. Put your phone in your pocket and your hands in the air. And I am like, Dill, you're hilarious. You're so funny. And I'm just enjoying getting to know them as humans a little bit. So then I do. I put my phone in my pocket. Everybody puts their phones in their pocket. I swear nobody, I don't know how anybody has video of this besides their drone videos because everybody had their hands in the air, their phones in the pockets. Like you listen to Chris Martin when he tells you what to do. So the song was A Sky Full of Stars. And if you've ever heard this song, there's this part where it just kicks in and it's like favorite musical moments. That is it for me. It's like just drops and you're like, burr, 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 and you're just jamming. I was, and the bracelets went nuts. It looked like there was flashing stars all over the whole stadium. And we're all jumping and screaming the lyrics. And oh my God, even my husband was like, woo! And he's not a Coldplay fan, but we are just having, this is like the best experience of my life. I was having so much fun. Oh God. And then they played Yellow. And that song is my song for my girls. They were preemies. They were 28 week babies and they were tiny, tiny, tiny. And they were so skinny and they had no butt cracks because babies get their fat in the third trimester and they didn't have any fat to form butt cheeks. So they didn't have a butt crack. It's something I cried about, fun fact. But they were so skinny, so just skin and bones. And now they are so beautiful. And I mean, they've always been beautiful. So just skin and bones turned into something beautiful. That's why Yellow is so important to me. So when I say this concert was the top experience of my life, it's literally a bucket list item for me. And I just randomly threw it on a vision board. And somehow everything got put into place and it happened. And that, if you ask me, is a miracle. And I don't know how the universe works. I'm Christian. I know how that works for me. I think that the universe and God work together. And I was able to manifest this. And I didn't pray for it, but I just said, I know this is going to happen. And I think God saw that conviction in my heart and was just like, all right, universe, let's go. So I was also kind of so happy that my husband was there and he was videoing me and taking photographs of me. And obviously I am just in the concert. I'm not even talking to him very much. I am focused. I didn't want to miss a beat of that concert. But I know that he was happy to see me have my moment. And the videos and pictures prove it. There's this one picture where I'm just like clasping my hands like I'm praying, and I'm just a weird, happy look on my face. And in that moment, I was thankful. I was just so thankful. I knew I was so blessed. I knew I was so lucky. I knew that I deserved this moment. That concert was so much more than a concert to me, so much more than a live stadium show. It was incredible on so many different levels. And the last song they played was Fix You. And there's a part of that song where it just like kicks in and there's just a whole bunch of music. And Chris Martin just shot these things out of his fingers and he like ran back towards the band and fireworks everywhere. And I'm like, you guys are magical. You're magic. If I could personally thank them for that experience, I would. And I know they're probably super happy because I know that they know they make people feel this way. And that's why we all love their music. But if I could personally thank them, that would be freaking awesome. But I think this podcast is good enough. My first experience of a stadium show, my first experiencing seeing manifestation work. I just encourage you guys to keep wishing, keep dreaming. Anyway, so 40 plus people, keep wishing, manifesting, dreaming. We're not too old to change. We're not too old to grow. We're not too old to have new experiences. And I hope that you've had an experience like this or that you will. It doesn't have to be a concert, but just something that moves you to this degree. I hope you have an experience like that. Because I know in our busy, busy day lives, every day is so busy, we don't have time to think. So you barely have time to think, you barely have time to feel. So I hope that you can get an experience like this, or that you have had an experience like this. Bye, 40 plus people. Till next time.